Hey there, retail leaders. It's Steve Worthy. Before we jump into our episode that I know you are going to enjoy, I've got a little something that I think you'll like. You know how we always talk shop and we share insights here, right? Well, I put together this newsletter. It's called Worthy Retail News. Here's what it does. It allows us to continue our candid dialogue. It's another way for us to provide straight talk conversations and stories and even some more behind the scenes perspectives from top professionals in the retail industry. Just click the link in the show notes to subscribe, or better yet, you can go to worthyretailnews.com. It's just that easy. worthyretailnews.com. Trust me, it's worth a look. All right, let's go ahead and dive into the episode. Hello and welcome to the Worthy Podcast. I am Steve Worthy, your host and also CEO of Worthy Leadership Group, where we help Black and minority clients and organizations unlock their potential by helping them grow, empower, and multiply their leadership. Good day to everyone listening, no matter where you are listening from or how you are listening. If you are taking the dog for a walk, if you are working out, we welcome you to the Worthy Podcast. Hey, before we get into the episode, one of the things I wanted to talk to you about real quick was about the leadership journey. You know, we often talk about everybody is on a leadership journey, whether they know it or not. But to be successful on that journey, you have to be an active participant within that journey. But the other part of that is that before you get on any journey, you have to know where you currently are before you can get to the destination. So we have a tool and we call it the GEM assessment. And of course, for us, GEM stands for grow, empower, and multiply. This assessment will help you understand where you currently are within that journey, but more importantly, give you a foundation for where you want to go. So here's how you find us. You can go to www.worthyleadershipgroup.com/now and click on the link where you can actually go and take the GEM assessment, or you can click on the link in the show notes. Thank you for your time. Now let's get into the episode. Okay. As they always say, we have saved the best for last, but let's do a quick recap. Right? So in part one, we did an overview of the Enneagram and we talked about what it is and how important it is to you as an individual, but more importantly, to those people around you and those you lead and those who are probably even in your own household. So in part one, we talked about type 8, which is the challenger. We talked about type 9, which is the peacemaker. And then we talked about number 1, type 1, which is the reformer. In part two, we talked about type 2, which is the helper. And then we also talked about type 3, the achiever, which is my type. And I had a bunch of fun talking to Nan about myself. And then we talked about type 4. In this last part, like I said, we have probably saved the best for last. And the majority of people kind of fall into these last three. And they are type 5, and that is the investigator. And then that's type 6, which is the loyalist. And then type 7, which is the enthusiast. So we're super excited to get into this last part of this part 3 of this 3-part series for Enneagram by the Numbers with Nan Henson from Enneagram Atlanta. We're super excited about this episode. Let's go.
All right. So type 5 is the investigator. We say in the, they might be the ones that you think are looking to be detached. You know, I'm looking to not necessarily, I'm not looking for that attachment connection. Right. This, I'm looking for my own individual place. Some people call them the observer. I really like it, the investigator, because I think there's a more active role in it. It's an observer feels to me like there's not really an active role. You know, I'm just kind of looking at everything. The investigator is I find this curiosity and I'm going after it. I'm going to really investigate it, go down deep. And that's what the five brings to us, that ability. We say they have this illumination and this clarity. Mm-hmm. When they are at their best, there's this ability to take things that are not understood, or at least something from here and here, and bring it together, bring a new understanding to it, something new. So you have a lot of innovators, you have a lot of inventors, discoverers here. The capacity to see their environment pretty quickly, mm-hmm. and synthesize those observations that they make. And they have this ability to focus on things that other people miss. I have that ability to really know what's necessary. So I can focus in on the important facts and let the other things go. There's a real intelligence, a real innovation and curiosity. I would say curiosity is a key word for the fives. But oftentimes this gets covered up by, I don't know enough yet. I don't think, I don't have enough. I don't have everything I need yet. So I've got to withdraw to find more information. Yes. I'll think about it. Let me think about that. Instead of going with what that true clarity is in the moment, I have this aha moment, and all of us have experienced it. It's just that fives are experts at it. That when I'm not efforting, when I'm not struggling so hard to get that clarity and illumination, it just drops in. Interesting. I get it. I see the big picture. I understand it. But I like to withdraw because I think I can't handle emotions. I can't give any of myself away to anyone else. It's too, you know, until I figure out all this stuff. And if I give you some of me, then I might not have enough to do this important work of figuring things out, all this intellectual work. So fives are often the withdrawn type. They detach, move away from, loners. You know, you feel like that. Yeah.
I mean, there's just so much to unpack there. But one of the things that I just gravitated to, you said they could focus on things other people miss. Like,
yes.
I often, I've come across a lot of people like that too, my professional career. And I actually am a little jealous of that because that ability, because I think a really good tendency to kind of slow the ball down, to slow things, the thought process down, whereas threes, right? Yes. Where, you know, and think quickly. And I try to find myself to slow the ball down, and I try it's really hard, and I can't sometimes. So I'm a little jealous of that ability for them to be able to do that.
That's so wise of you to recognize that, because that is what they bring, and that is what their gift. You know, they have that ability. The thing is, the focus becomes what I'm interested in. When I'm not at my best, you know, it's not, I'm just going to focus and I'm going to have this encyclopedic knowledge about one subject. And it's very much what I'm interested in. So I could go off on a tangent, but that true curiosity leads me to go from this point. Oh, and that point leads to this point. Oh, and that leads to me. And you were right to say the three says, oh, I'm at this point. I see the end. Boom. I'm there.
Yeah.
And I've missed all those extra little points along the way that might provide really important insight in decision making.
Oh, my gosh.
They're highly analytical. Yes. They're able to develop plans to get to where I need to get to.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just, they don't move as quickly as you might want them to.
The more mature I've become in my leadership, I think the more I actually like having fives on my team.
Yeah.
Because they do. They know I'm out there, but then they have the ability to reel me back in and say, okay, dude, well, you didn't think about this point, that point, this point. And I think anybody who's listening to this, and if you're a three, even maybe that challenger, maybe eight or whatever, like having that type of person on your team to slow you down, or even having like a coach or executive coach, like having that, because I would think that these people would probably be like, I don't know, you can correct me if I'm wrong, probably good coaches, because they can help. Maybe they're not, because the focus is all about them. But I think maybe at their best, they can help people see some of those little pit stops along the way. Maybe I'm wrong on that.
If they're healthy, they could be. You're right. But, you know, when they're not their best self, they're focusing on data and fact.
Yeah.
I'm a head type. I'm in my head. I'm not necessarily, we've moved from the heart center over to the head center now. And yeah, so I'm very analytical. And I can also, just like the three, I can also tend to disregard the emotional.
Interesting. Piece. Because it's up for them, the data and what they're going after trumps the emotional connection, because with data, there is no emotional connection. It's just the data.
That's right. And I feel comfortable there.
I
feel really comfortable there. And I feel as if, you know, it's very difficult. I'm not very sentimental at all. I don't understand that all the time. And again, these are generalizations. Right. Not all fives are like this. But as a group, one of the things we say is, you know, it's sort of like, well, why should I get you a present for your birthday? You didn't have anything to do with it. You know, maybe.
That's awesome. Can I use that with my kids?
Sure.
I'm going to use that with my kids now going forward.
Right. What do you mean? But they can learn sentimentality, but it isn't something that comes that naturally. You know, sort of like, I don't understand this gift-giving thing. Or I don't understand why we make a big deal out of anniversaries. You know, those types of things just aren't all that important to me. It's not that I can't learn it, but...
So we'll move it to a couple of people, and let me throw out somebody real quick, and you let me know if you feel it's a fictional character, but I just love him. I love him to death. Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, absolutely.
Is it okay?
Absolutely. I don't know if you ever watched Doc Martin.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
But on PBS. Yes. Oh my! There you go.
Oh yeah.
You see that? I mean, there's an innocence about them, kind of a naivete.
Right. But there's this
that
brilliance.
Is endearing.
There's this brilliance that.
But they're awkward.
Awkward, socially awkward.
Yes. Yes.
You don't find yourself wanting to really spend time with them.
Yes.
But man, but you can't discount their brilliance. So interesting. Well, that's who else do you have there?
It's so true. And so let's see. I have Stephen King. I have Georgia O'Keeffe. Mm-hmm. Her paintings, you know, that she was very much. Tim Burton,
yes.
Who did the Halloween, the Nightmare After Halloween, whatever it is. Kurt Cobain. Ooh. This could be the torture, because I feel like if I can't make sense of everything in my world, Vincent Van Gogh. Oh, yeah. I say as they get down into the lower levels, it feels as if that picture of Edward Monks, Scream.
Yes.
Who's going.
Oh, yeah. That's an emoji.
This doesn't
That's
make sense.
That's an emoji right now.
Yeah, it is. It feels as if I'm in a world of senselessness and I can't make sense of anything. Nothing makes sense to me. So it begins to feel like, so that movie, A Beautiful, that's what he was doing, trying to make more sense of it.
I've interviewed so many people. You are, and I have, in the fact that I'd have to bring this up, I love that movie, A Beautiful Mind. And I love, there's a part in the movie that, I digress, but I'll go into this little diatribe for a second. But there's a part in the movie that I just love. It's near the end of the movie when they're asking him, they come to see about the Nobel Prize. And they're at the table and they're like, well, hey, how do you feel? And he said, well, you just really want to know if I'm still crazy or not. And I often use this example a lot, is that when people are struggling with something and they feel like, well, oh my gosh, I just have to get over it. It's just, and I'm like, well, part of this is always going to be with you. You just have to learn how to deal with it. And I use that analogy of when they were asking him about, like, are you crazy or not? And he looked across the room and he saw the three voices that he's been struggling with his entire life. And he says, they ask him, do you still hear the voices? That I do, but I choose not to acknowledge them. At that part, it just gives me goosebumps thinking about it. Ooh. Because when I think about
kiss me, chill.
You know, when I think about different things that we struggle with, and sometimes
the strength of that,
the fact that you just sometimes you just can't overcome everything, and that's not a weakness mentality. I think there's more strength in being able to deal with it than it is to kind of run away from it.
And that's a great thing, because when a five is under stress and in their less healthy places, you know, there are conspiracy thoughts, and I am thinking that all of this, but again, it's learning not to push that away in the shadows, but to recognize this is all a part of me. Yes, I am that too.
Yes.
It's not, I've got to push it all away. It's, I am all of this.
Yes.
I am. And when I'm present to all of me, then those true gifts.
Okay, my friends. So let me ask you a question. Are you ready for your performance review? Or did you already receive your performance review and you're still waiting for clarity for that score and also for the comments that you received? No matter how good or how bad you think you did, I want to help you survive, but more importantly, I want to help you thrive through what we affectionately call Make a Move season. It's happening right now, and it's directly tied to your review. Can I tell you a little secret? Just here, listen in. You've got to be ready for what may come your way. You have to start setting yourself up for what you want to have happen next. To be very honest, you have more control over your success than you think you do, but you can't take this decision lightly. And to be honest, you need help getting to your best next. Our Make a Move Clarity Calls provide, well, that's exactly what they provide. They provide clarity. Clarity on where you are and how do you get to your best next. So make sure that you click the link in the show notes to grab a time so that we can talk. And I'll see you soon.
Oh my gosh. Awesome.
Arise. For the five?
That's right. Yeah, man. Oh, gosh. Wow. So,
two more. Are we okay?
We are good. Yeah, man. Oh, gosh. This has been just outstanding. Yeah.
Oh, you make it easy. Gosh, you make it so easy, Steve. And so interesting for me. I love it when people are excited about what I'm passionate about. Too. You're an Enneagram nerd, too. I'm just going to call you an Enneagram nerd.
I will take that. All right. So six.
Okay. The loyalist, we talk about this is the need to feel secure and safe. And this is about my gift is that I have this inner knowing and this inner guidance. And there's an awakeness and an alertness. It's like I'm a sentry on a hill. And I can look out and know what's the next place to go. What's the way to move? It's a directional guidance kind of thing. It's sort of like your internal GPS system. And so I'm dependable and I'm loyal, steadfast, and I'm responsible. You can see how this would be. I'm determined to do my duty, to do what's right, to do what I said I would, and what's best for the group. There's a community intelligence about sixes that knows this, but I don't trust that inner guidance. I don't trust that that's there. And so I'm going to look for it somewhere else.
Right.
So I'm looking for it. Whereas the five is looking for that safety and security out in their head. The five is looking for that. The six is looking for that safety and security in an outside authority.
Interesting.
So I'm looking for that. I'm going to try to find it. I think somebody else has the information I need. I'm sure of it. If I just check with everybody out there, they'll tell me something that I might need to make my decision. So while I want everyone's input, and I'm really good at that community gathering, and that I believe everybody's voice belongs at the table, and everybody should have the same respect, but I expect you to offer that to me as well, I get paralyzed. Now, this is analysis paralysis. This is where this comes in, because I'm thinking, I got to check and double check. I have to, okay, that's your opinion. What's your opinion? Oh, well, what do you think I should do? And it's all the people that I believe are in my best mm-hmm. interests, my authorities. Mm-hmm. We say that ones have the harshest inner critic. Hmm. We say that sixes have an inner committee. I have all of these voices in my head, and they're all people that I've put there that are telling me, no, don't do that. Yes, you should do this. And it's like I never can decide which way. So what you experience on the other side of a six is like whiplash. It's like, oh, you said this and you want to do that. Oh, no, now you're doing this because I can't decide which one's the most important. And I think that if I worry and can prepare and think about things, then I'll be ready. I can make a decision. And so worry becomes my pacifier. Worry becomes what I do.
Interesting. So that's such a, like, this departure from being steadfastness, you know, having that ability to be steadfast to having that, or that inner committee. Because you wouldn't put the two together, if you will, right? You would think steadfastness is more decisive. I get it. I understand. Or I love that imagery of being a sentry on the hill.
Being able
to see kind of the vast land and being able to understand where you are and then kind of where you need to go. But then you have the underpinning of like, well, maybe I do, maybe I don't. Let me ask so-and-so and all these other different people.
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
It is. And it's as if, you know, we said about one, they know what's wrong when they come in a room. They're going to straighten your picture. The sixes know what could go wrong. So in a group, it's really important. You know, they often get labeled as wet blankets because they're always going, well, we can't do that. I mean, that you haven't thought about this. Yeah. You haven't thought about that. So especially around people that are positive outlook, they're going, oh,
yeah.
You have feels a little, but it's a great thing to have in a group. Somebody needs to think about how are we going to make the electricity happen. So the doubt and worry is so important, such a part of the six, that we say they have PTSD, which is pre-traumatic stress syndrome. And they experience it the same way as if it's already happened.
That's, oh my gosh.
So
I just think that that's so interesting because you are, the six is so caught up in the idea of what could happen that they get stuck in the paralysis of analysis and they can't decide. But the other side of it is like, I guess, how do you know when to trust them? How do you know when to trust their decision or their perspective?
Right. Well, they're not going to say it unless they're pretty sure of it. Okay. You know, so that's the problem, is getting to it. And it's truly that the six remembering that who they are is someone that's inner guided.
Yeah.
Someone that, you know, in a moment that actually there's all this out in front of me, but when I can feel the fear, because that's what I deal with, is fear and anxiety, and take the step anyway, then I recognize that I have everything I need to make that work. And sixes are also who you want to be around in a crisis, because it's like all of those thoughts that I worried about, like the pandemic, I'm pretty good during COVID because the worst has come true.
Yeah.
And I'm actually prepared for it. I have a locker of food. I have all the toilet paper I need. And so I kind of relax when the worst happens. So sixes are really great to have in a crisis.
That's a great point. I love that. I love that.
But also something happens too. All the fog disappears. And I actually can act and know. Forget all the second guessing. I respond. So in the moment, I'll do what is necessary. Yeah,
so that steadfastness kind of rises to the top after everything.
And it's also for the group.
Correct. You know? You have to be steadfast for the group and to make sure that we're all going in the right direction.
That's great. So I always think of Tom Hanks and the movie, Saving Private Ryan. It's a six playing a six in a six movie. It's all about the group.
That's so true.
Saving the group, getting together to save the one, you know, to save for the best thing, but it's also for them, you know, for the group. Think about Bruce Springsteen, who's been with the same group since the 70s. You know, the loyalty, he's got the same band members. He's also been married to the same person for the whole time. That loyalty, that steadfastness, they're people. John Bon Jovi, the same thing. And Bono, think about bringing the Pope and George Bush together to help cure AIDS.
Yes.
That ability to see both sides and bring them together, you know, for the common good. Let's see. a character on Seinfeld would be George Costanza. He would be your six.
George is a six?
Can you see that? The nervous Nelly. I mean, you know, he's always thinking about...
Yeah, that's my favorite. That's actually probably like, I think number one or two, my favorite show of all time.
Oh, I love it. So you'll have to have to think about that as you do it. Malcolm X, we say, is a six as well.
Yes, yes, yes.
And again, how do we know? This is based on behaviors outside the way they look. It, some are self-typed. Right. Yes, a lot of them are self-typed, but just recognize if they did it themselves, it may not. But the outside, the way we see them,
correct.
These are behaviors that we see.
Oh, my gosh. So, all righty.
Yeah.
Okay, and last but very not least.
Not least.
Is the sevens.
Right, and I always say poor sevens, we save them till last. Because if we did them first, they would leave. They got what they needed. And they're out the door. Awesome. I can't sit through all this. But
awesome.
When they're healthy, the best part of the seven, the very best part of the seven, is about joy and gratitude and freedom. It is the ability to have this enthusiastic savoring of all things, really experiencing the beauty and the freedom and the gratitude of each person and of each and everything in this world. They've got this infectious kind of happiness, this joie de vivre. They've got a spirit, indomitable spirit, that gives up their hope bringers for the rest of us. They always bring us hope. They're the first that want to be in a natural disaster. You know, a tsunami hits, I want to go. That's the first thought. But they also bring a lightness to situations and optimism to things. But they can get, and people think a lot that this is all they are. You know, they're just like the Energizer Bunny. And so people become invested in them being their happy upbringers. You know, what's wrong with you? You're the one that's always the life of the party. They feel like they have to be up all the time. And that just reinforces that when I feel sad, when I have these negative feelings, I'm just going to move on to something else. So they're in that fear and anxiety triad as well as the five and six. It's just that the way I experience anxiety is by being restless. It feels like restlessness to me, that anxiety does. And I don't like that feeling. So I'm going to leave whatever it is that's causing me restlessness and go on to the next thing. I'm just going to jump to something else. So there's a feeling of incompleteness. I might not have complete follow through on things. I'm a great startup person. You know, I might start a lot of businesses because I can vision and see all of that. I'm also a jack of all trades, master of none. I know a little about a lot of subjects, but I don't go deep like that five. You know, the five, I've got that. I'm quick. This is the problem, is my mind is nimble and quick, and I get things really easily. And I think everybody should. And I just get bored when I'm sitting here having to explain this and when everybody else is having to go over this. You know, B word is very difficult for me.
Oh my gosh.
But again, this can be a really positive thing to have. You know, you need somebody that's got this positive, we can do this mentality.
Right.
Because these are can-do people. That's exactly what they believe. But get sidetracked by so many choices. And I feel like freedom, the real freedom that I know is just there for everyone. You know, you can be in a prison and still be free in your own mind. Right. But I began to feel like freedom is choices. So the more choices I have, the more options I have, then the more I feel free.
Is that from the healthy side or the unhealthy side?
That's the unhealthy side.
Okay.
I'm starting to think that I've got to have all these options. And one of the problems is if I make a choice, then I've shut all these other options down. So I don't want to do that. I have backup plans. So this might be the one that's dating when they're young, say in college. And I have three dates. I have one for dinner, one for after dinner, and one for late night. You know, I don't want to get stuck. And if I'm enjoying the one for dinner, then I might call the other one and say, sorry, I got, you know, delayed.
Interesting.
Yeah. I have backup plans that'll keep me moving.
No, it's not contrary. So this optimism and joy, where does it come from? Because it almost seems like they're just trying, I think just like almost all the other ones, right? We're trying to figure out how to sustain it.
Exactly.
Where does this joy kind of come from?
This is what happens is I believe that it's out here somewhere. I think that I'm going to be satisfied, but I'm never satisfied because I'm not, just like you were talking about for the three, I'm not fully experiencing the moment, the experience I'm in. It's like I'm on vacation. I planned the greatest vacation for us, but I'm sitting in the room on Google looking up where we're going to go next.
Right.
And I'm missing the experience that's right in front of me. So the real joy, the real freedom comes from this knowledge that joy is innate within us. That who we are made to be are joyful, fulfilled, satisfied, free people. That we have that available to us. That in any moment, we can let whatever's in front of us by just savoring it. I mean, it can be in a spoonful of soup. We can taste all the different flavors in it. We can feel the heat. We can smell the smell in that one moment. And it can nurture and satisfy us. But I never allow myself to slow down enough to really experience the moment. So that joy comes from knowing that what a smorgasbord life is. That life gives us options and experiences that are better than anything I can drum up.
Oh, wow. There's such a freedom. There's such a freedom in that, right? When you
can you feel it? Can you feel that?
I can. And I think that's the beauty of, you know, not just this type, right?
Right.
Almost every type. Yeah. There's a freedom in allowing yourself to really be kind of like yourself.
I love this, Steve. I love what you're bringing together because what you're recognizing is all of these essence qualities that go around are feeding each other. It's almost like a daisy chain.
Yes.
That once we recognize that, oh, there's this within me, they're leading me to this in my own self. Yes. I can find this more easily when I see how you experience it. When I see the excellence that you have in your life and what you've achieved in your podcast and how you're doing this leadership, it inspires me to hold my own bar a little higher, you know, just naturally. Excellent. Anyway, you can see how that leads and feeds each other.
Oh, absolutely. Who are some sevens?
Sevens would be, of course, the ones you think of, like Lucille Ball. You know, you think of the fun, the comedians.
Yes.
And
yes.
Jim Carrey would be a seven. There's also the other side of the seven that doesn't feel the satisfaction. So that would be Robin Williams.
Right.
You know, that you feel that desperation too. Bette Midler. John Kennedy. John F. Kennedy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Gosh, they're all good threes, right? Or good sevens. You know, all of us. So much to unpack. But for our listeners out there, I really hope you were able to really get a good understanding of really what kind of the Enneagram is and why, for one, I'm so passionate about it and why it has truly, you know, I know a lot of people, oh my gosh, this changed my life. But this has truly changed my life from understanding who I am into how I deal with people into, first of all, how I deal with myself.
Yes.
And how I lead myself. Because then that just becomes an outcropping of how I lead and how I deal with other people as well. Nan, as we close, can you give us some words of wisdom and just some thoughts about the Enneagram and how this is going to impact our lives and how it can impact our lives as well?
Yeah. You know, I think you can begin to see that this is so much more than just a typing system.
Yes. Yes.
My mentor and one of my teachers, Don Risso, said, people think the Enneagram puts you in a box, but the Enneagram shows you the box you're already in and how to get out of. And that's what I think we can see, that this is so much more than just a filing system of how we categorize people, but that we can learn to appreciate all of who someone is. And that we tend to give what we need. We tend to give to others what we need ourselves. And when we can recognize that maybe rather than giving them what I need, it might be interesting to understand what they need and look at how I can see the highest parts in them, how I can see their best qualities. When we can see and speak to in an honest and real way the best qualities in someone else, we almost give it birth. We help them remember who they are. We help them remember who they are as we remember who they are. And when we can change our set point in our health, just one level, just one level, then we have changed everything. We've changed who people are relating to. We've changed how we see the situation. We've changed how we see the other person. And possibility is huge. We can speak to each other as our highest qualities, see what's best about each other, and have compassion for what we're trying to get back to, what each one of us is trying to return to.
Oh, my gosh. And then could you tell everybody how they can get in contact with you?
Sure.
And maybe just a little bit about like your workshops that you do as well, because
right.
I'm going to recommend them and I'll have links and everything, but I just wanted to get your, tell them a little bit about what you do as well.
Great. At Enneagram Atlanta, it's enneagramatlanta.com. That's my personal website, and my daughter and I work together in that. And that's where I do the 4 Risso Hudson authorized workshops, which are Enneagram Institute authorized. And so the Enneagram Institute is out of New York. And if you haven't been to their website, it's a wonderful website as well. And you should go there and sign up for the Enneathought, which is a little thing that comes to your mailbox every day, and it's at enneagraminstitute.com. But you can see all of the list of workshops that I do there and sign up. Also, my colleague and friend Linda Roberts and I do have the Enneagram Georgia website. It's enneagramgeorgia.com, and that's where our certification and training program is. If you're interested in being confident and prepared and have the credibility to actually use the Enneagram in your work and in your a little more deeply in your life, this is for you. It's a 2-module, 4 days each, certification and training program that is accredited by the International Enneagram Association.
Excellent, excellent.
So that's that.
Two things. I will have links to all of those in the show notes. And then the second thing is that I can highly recommend the Enneagram Thought because I get it every morning. Every morning, and it shows up in my inbox at like 2:09 every morning, 2:09 a.m. Yep. So whenever I get up, and it's actually probably the second thing I do, I have some quiet time, and then I read the Enneagram Thought, and it almost seems to just kind of prepare. It almost seems to mirror things, but it also, what it does is sets me up for the day. It gives me a really good thought perspective. And then helps me kind of like, okay, already, there's affirmations. There are things that they, in your thought, just has you think about on a daily basis. And so I can highly recommend the In Your Thought. There'll be links to all of that stuff as well. Nan Hansen, thank you so very, very much for being here on The Worthy Podcast. I just had such an outstanding time. I know that our listeners are going to be just taken aback by all the information that was provided. And they're just going to be like amazed at whenever they take it and they want to do some deeper understanding of what the Enneagram is, how it's truly going to impact their life. So I just want to say thank you so much for being on the show today.
Oh, Steve, it was so much fun. Thank you. I enjoyed every minute.
Excellent.
If you have received value from this podcast, I just need you to do two simple things for me. One, I need you to subscribe on whatever platform that you listen to podcasts on. And when you subscribe, leave us a review and also leave us a topic that you want to hear on this podcast. And then number two, just visit us at our website, and it's worthyleadershipgroup.com. You can take our assessment to kind of find out where you are, whether you are in your growth phase of leadership, your empowerment, or you are a multiplier. Or you can take one of our fun and interesting quizzes as well. Once again, you can visit us at worthyleadershipgroup.com. Okay. Before you go, hey, I just wanted to say thank you so much for being a massive part of Retail Leadership with Steve Worthy. I got to tell you, the ideas, concepts, and also the challenges that you guys face out there as retail leaders, you know, it keeps us going. It is the fuel that helps us create these podcast episodes. And we just want to thank you so much. Please, if you have more ideas and things that you're dealing with or struggling with that you want to hear about, let us know as well. Also, if you're interested in working with Worthy Retail, let us know. If you want to learn more about the campus, we have links in the description as well. So, hey, I will see you in the next episode. Have a great day and God bless.